As the choir is finding their spaces, I wanted to let you know that that song was arranged by one of our church members, Ted Matthews, who's not here today, but yay, Ted. And also the lyrics were adapted by one of our practitioners, Linda Drevenstedt. So she's not here either. Yay, Linda. They're off being grandparents somewhere. Okay. Who is here today, however, is our guest speaker. Thank the Lord. I'm really glad you're here, Dr. Michael Lennox. So let me just tell you a little bit about Michael so we know how important he is before he speaks. He is a highly sought-after media expert, and he's been seen internationally on many television shows, beginning with the Sci-Fi Network's The Dream Team, and has also been featured on numerous network and cable television venues, including NBC's Emmy Award-winning Starting Over, Soap Talk, The Wayne Brady Show, and many, many others. His radio appearances, talking about the power of dreams, number in the hundreds. That's where I first heard Michael, was on the radio. Dr. Lennox obtained his master's and doctorate in psychology from the Chicago School, and his doctoral dissertation, Astrology and Personality, is published by Lambert Academic Publishing. Dr. Lennox is also the author of two books on dreams, Dream Sight, A Dictionary and Guide for Interpreting Any Dream, and Llewellyn's Complete Dream Dictionary. Dr. Lennox leads workshops and retreats all over the United States, and he conducts a worldwide private practice based in Southern California. But the most important thing about Michael Lennox, in my opinion, is that he is a wonderful man with a huge heart, and we love him dearly. So let's give him lots of love. Hey.
Wow. What a trip down memory lane. That is how you came to find me. I was driving up to Ventura to do a radio show on dream interpretation of dreams, and you heard me and reached out to me. That relationship with that radio host turned into a whole thing. I'm just having memory lane thing. I'm just going to talk for 20 minutes about my memories. I'm hoping you guys will enjoy that. No, actually, in true fashion of one mind, I really have no idea what I'm going to talk about. Really, truly, I don't. Although I have this outline. I have an outline, and I have a title. I don't even know what the title is. It's something like Manifestation in Chaos. So I'm just going to talk the way I talk, which is to sort of tell you the story about why I'm even here to talk about the thing that I'm here to talk about. And it started with this client of mine who was on her way to the Gem and Mineral Show in Tucson, because she, in the last 2 years, has sort of declared herself as a crystal distributor. And she's got this whole new world happening where she goes to the Gem and Mineral Show, buys all kinds of stuff, and comes back and sells it all. And she writes me this email, and she says, I'm running around town. It was such a great day. It started off so well, and I pulled the card and was like, oh, I was supposed to have this great day, but then I sprained my ankle, and then there were like two or three other things that happened. Is this a sign that I shouldn't go to Tucson? What would Michael Lennox say? So I wrote her back, and I said, well, first of all, Michael Lennox would say, this is not a sign. You will go to Tucson or not go to Tucson on the day that you're supposed to, based on what your body is telling you that day. And it was 2 days before that day. She's like, is this a sign? And my last line was, have a nice talk about chaos. Chaos. See, she wrote back saying she was very excited at first because she thought I wrote tacos. Really, so we were going to have a nice talk over tacos. This is actually what she wrote. It's just, you know, if something's worth a laugh, it's got to be included. But I that's what I'm here to talk about. Like, that's talk delivered, okay? But I'll spend the next 15 minutes or so illuminating the power that's in this befuddlement. I thought to myself, well, why are we befuddled about thoughts and signs and synchronicities and watching life unfold and having an elevated experience of, like, this is my client. She has an elevated experience of, she knows it's an illusion. It, life. She knows that it's an illusion, and she's just doing her best to work with that illusion. Well, that's what Ernest Holmes was doing. Ernest Holmes came along. Actually, you got to sort of start back with Moses. Well, really, because before Moses, you had all of the beautiful... Let's talk about Krishna. I just love the Hindu notion of Krishna going, I wonder, and that's the Big Bang. Just, I wonder. And the mythology there is he throws a piece of himself out and says, forget me. So that piece... let's pretend I pointed this way. So that if I'm thrown out and I'm being told to forget, what's happening for Krishna is she is having an experience of being seen. Who doesn't love that? And parents are doing this all over the place. They're throwing children out of them so that the children will turn back and see them. Well, that is the act of creation. The creator creates the creation. And then there's a relationship between the creator and its creation, and it looks back and it sees its creator and says, thank you. Right? So that's where we were back here 8,000 years ago. So Moses comes along and says, yeah, I don't know. I think there's one. There's one God. That's what Moses came along. And 2,000 years later, Jesus came along and said, yes, and it's inside you. It's inside you. Well, then 400 years later, Rome came along and said, ooh, power, control, Christians. And you know what happened after that. What happens? We lost connection to what it really means to understand that God so loved existence that it casts something out of itself in order to look back and say, I exist. Oh my God, what a game we're playing. And, oh yes, but this one energy, Moses tells us, is all around us, and Jesus says, it's inside of you. It was sort of Mary Baker Eddy who came along and said, we live in this new, interesting, modern world. I wonder, I don't know if this is what she thought. She thought it was okay to get sick and not go to the doctor, so let's not be too concerned with what Mary Baker Eddy did. Because she killed a lot of people by saying, oh my God, the power is in you and it's prayerful. And it's true, but a little misguided. At any rate, I'm guessing that Mary Baker Eddy was able to formulate that idea because of science. So now picture Ernest Holmes, who came along and said, okay, Mary, I think you overdid it. With the prayer fixes everything, because the mind of God also created doctors and hospitals. So, yeah, that's another talk. But think about Ernest Holmes and when he was formulating these thoughts and who he was connecting in thought. Emmett Fox, Carl Jung, Bill Wilson, who sort of came along also and all that. I mean, this amazing consciousness was being born as the 1800s turned into the 1900s. But it was Newtonian in origin, meaning Newton came along somewhere about here and said, oh, math, right? Math. So in that worldview, there's just this machine that we are that gets triggered by this math. And so if you do this and this and this, you're going to get that because math says so. And so Ernest Holmes is formulating these ideas about mind and thought and direction of thought to create the reality that you wish, that is all in there. Now, he was absolutely right, absolutely on track and right. But about 50 years after he published Science of Mind, we discovered chaos. Like, ideas that govern the universe that we know now weren't known back then. Back then, there was just this idea of math, outcome. Prayer, outcome. Oh, and then someone came along and said, you know, law of attraction, and marketed it about, I don't know, 30, 40 years ago, which is also sort of right and kind of misguided too. The law of attraction says you can create anything you desire. Oh my God, there's never been anything so wrong uttered ever. You cannot create everything you desire. I'm sorry. If you think you can, sorry. You can't. You can create within the scope of your capacity. You can create within the scope of your true mind-heart congruity. That is what you think you want to create, what you feel you're capable of creating, and most important, worthy of deserving. Right? But you also can't create anything you want because chaos exists. Now, when I use the word chaos, I'm not talking about colloquial chaos, like, oh my God, it's so chaotic, which it is. But right now I'm speaking specifically of the scientific expression of chaos. Okay, the butterfly effect. Besides being a really bad movie that exhibited a kind of an interesting phenomenon, the butterfly effect is a trope created by a physicist who made an outrageously powerful observation, turned it into a paper, delivered the talk, used that phrase, grabbed the world of physics by storm. What, and I have forgotten his name, holy moly. I don't sound as smart as my bio would imply. Anyway, some guy, he looked out at weather. We should be able to predict weather, he said to himself. So, again, I'm making all of this up. I'm not exactly sure of the language or the science of this. But it's basically the idea that there's wetness and dryness, and there's wind and speed, and there's temperature, blah, and troughs and things. There's not that much to weather. There's like six things you have to know. And so the idea from Newtonian math would be, if I know all six things, then I can predict what's going to happen. This is back to this idea of, I can create anything I desire. The prediction that something's going to happen is, oh, if I do it right, I'll get the thing I'm creating. Oh my God, what a setup for failure. Because what did this guy learn? He learned that no matter how exact the circumstances were from here to there, the outcome was completely unpredictable. Not different, though different. Unpredictable. That's the scientific sort of, yeah, I want to say what it is, but it'd be a curse word. Yeah, it's sort of like an awful idea that I can't predict what's going to happen. And Ernest Holmes didn't live in a world that knew that fundamentally or scientifically. He lived in a world that if you could find the exact starting point, you could predict anything and everything. It was like there was this clockwork mechanism, and that the problem with understanding how it was working wasn't that it didn't work the way we thought it worked, which was what the problem was. The problem, they thought, was we just don't know where the actual starting point is, and if we knew the starting point, we could predict everything that was going to follow afterwards. Wrong. By the way, everything that we know today is going to be wrong in about 50 years, so come back in 50 years when we're talking. But we do certainly understand right now that no matter how many predictable pieces we have in place, the outcome is unpredictable. Nothing that anybody ever worried about happened. Now, stuff happens. Really brutal stuff happens. Because it's a chaotic world that we live in. That's one of the values of chaos. The value of understanding and accepting the chaos piece is, first of all, it removes judgment from the picture. Anything that can encourage you to not judge your path through life through a critical lens is a good thing to embrace and move in the direction of. So, first and foremost, add this fundamental sense of, oh my God, it's a chaotic world that I live in, and I do not know what the outcome is going to be. Live through that principle of creation, and you will have more serenity because you won't be watching the process telling yourself it's failing. It can't fail because, first of all, you're not that powerful. We think we are, and yes, you have to. It's like, yes, life is sort of an unfolding divine plan, and there's an order to everything, and yes, it's completely random, chaotic. Both. You, as a human being, have to learn how to live in the center of an unresolvable dichotomy. There is no chaos in order, and there is no order in chaos, and yet we are living, walking embodiments of order and chaos, chaos and order. That's what we are. So yes, it is, I think, more powerful to focus in the direction of my thought creates my reality. If I have a disciplined mind, I can move in the direction of what I desire to create by constantly aligning my thoughts into my desired hearts and down to the feet so that the steps go in, you know, there's movement happening and we create. But if you are not accounting for chaos in the mix somehow, then you're missing a fundamental piece of the mechanism that, if you're not paying attention to, you will trip you over and over again with these judgments of, oh my God, it's not working. One of the things I often have to do with clients when they're engaged in some sort of, like, everybody has their own version of the program that ruins their lives. Mine is that if I don't prove myself to you, you will not know my worth. So if you add to that that I was also pretty enraged as a human being, imagine this. I need to prove my value to you, and I'm enraged. Oh, oh my God, like the line of dead bodies behind me is is very long. If we needed to like get a hall for all the people I have offended, we'd need a really big place. So we each have different ways of orienting ourselves to this challenge of how to incorporate kind of a chaotic world into our day-to-day view. Well, the answer is in the body. The body has first of all, how crazy is that? I do movement meditation. It's like of all the different ways that I meditate, moving is one of the primary ways I do it. And I put on some particular music that I like, and I clear away the coffee table, and I do my thing. Because it's chaotic. It's movement. There's all sorts of, and the body responds to that. Well, my body responds to that. I mean, I am oriented for moving meditation, and some of you are not going to be, so have a nice day. But over here, let me tell you an experience that I have on a regular basis because I have cultivated the quieting of this so that I can hear this. This is not something you can up the volume of. But you can quiet this, and it's amazing what you can see and hear when you do. I am an avid exerciser. I drank the Kool-Aid from CrossFit. And we're crazy. People who love CrossFit are obsessed with CrossFit because it is, I love it because my body and how it feels and moves through space is just the most important thing to everything else that follows. Do you know what I mean? I work out because this instrument wants to be, like, this isn't a VW, this is a Maserati, and I want to treat it that way. So I work out almost every day. Right, but this is very, very, very intense working out, and sometimes my mind doesn't want to do it, or sometimes my mind thinks I should. So here's an experience I have on a regular basis. I get up very early, and I'm already working, and I'm writing my daily astrological report, and I'm thinking, I'm not going to work out today. I get up, I walk bedroom, I start changing my clothes, and I put on my gym clothes, and I go to the gym. And it's uncanny. It's an uncanny phenomena that I feel in my body. It's like I had no intention of going to the gym here. But here wants that movement. Conversely, I can be dressed and ready to go, and the body won't leave the house. It's like, okay. Both of those experiences are the infrequent ones because habitually I am oriented to just go to the gym. I love working out. It's in the morning, blah, blah, blah. It's part of my lifestyle. But these two experiences are part of my spiritual practice. These two experiences took decades to cultivate and was worth every workshop, prayer thing, retreat, process, degree, worth it all to get to that place. I used to think that all the work and the effort was going to create something enormous. It's like, I'm already enormous. I mean, the enormity of my energy is not divine. It's physical. It's human. All of that work is really just cultivating this quietude that allows me to hear what my body wants in any given moment. That's the piece that allows you, I believe, at least this is my experience, that's the piece that allows me to move forward in a chaotic world. The question I'm asked in astrology, more often than anything else, is like, when's it going to end? It being the horrible chaos. It's like, it's never going to end. Maybe when you're dead. But we don't even know anything about that, so who knows what happens after that piece. The chaos isn't ending in the world. And the way to move through this in everything that we know from science of mind is to incorporate the idea that other than directed prayer, this is worthless. Put your hand on your heart, one on your belly, you take a deep breath, and that quietude that you might get for 3 seconds, that's what we're working toward. And it works instantaneously. Hand on heart, one on belly, deep breath, and then do that 17,652 times a day, and you're cooking with gas. Have at it, everybody. Thank you. Sure. So the workshop is a dream circle. Okay, so that's what the focus is on that. We're going to share dreams at a community level. Everybody will have an opportunity to bring a dream to the mix. I'll work with everybody who's in the circle. Then we'll do a little process towards the end where we dive in and have a little meditative kookiness with the dream content that got brought up. And we're going to plow through that at 12:30 for about 2.5 hours. Come and join us.
That's